these guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are on Election Day. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Steve Bertrand here. We're going to jump right in. John Najarian is on a phone line. John, welcome back to the Biz Lunch. I have to tell you, I'm confused today. Can I read a couple statistics for you? All right,
John. Sure, I'd love to hear them.
All right, so I'm reading this from Fundstrat Global Advisors. They look at the numbers. They say the median stock market return since 1896 was only 1.9% a year after the House majority flipped from one party to the other. So Democrats likely to take the House. That looks like the stock market will grow 1.9% next year. However, since 1928, the S&P, here's another stat, has averaged an average return of 12% when the Congress is split and the Republicans control the White House. So which is it, John? Is the market going to go up 12% or just 2%?
Well, Tom Lee from Fundstrat was just on the halftime report. Strangely enough, he was citing almost the exact same
statistics. I bet he was, yeah.
And, yes. So I know most of your listeners and certainly me, I would be rooting that it's a 12% number. I think that's certainly capable given the sort of economic conditions and where the consumer will be next year and into 2020. So I'm optimistic about the returns as well as hopefully America getting some of this toxic debate behind us.
Well, the choice isn't a terrible one because both of the arrows are pointing up, I guess. So I'll take that. What do you expect? I mean, not from the voting today, but do you think that there will be, I saw a conservative investor thinks the Dow will drop, I think, 18% or something. I forget what it was, but it's going to be terrible if the Democrats take the House. So do you think that there will be an impact one way or another?
Well, first of all, since that is the betting line right now, is I think Nate Silver has it at 85% that the Democrats take the House. So if there was a belief in that stat, I think you would already see it reflected in the market. Now, some people would say, as you asked me 2 weeks ago, I think, is this sell-off in October due to the idea that the Democrats would have a strong edge in the midterms for the House anyway, not for the Senate? And at that time, I said no, and I still say no. That is not going to be a significant downturn in the market. That's not what the market's predicting. And I think a split would be just fine. And yet we'll have to see where the polling was coming from. Were they only polling, being where I am right now, Stephen, on the East Coast, I get a completely different feel for the electorate when I'm here than I get when I'm anywhere in the middle of the country.
Well, you know, here in Illinois, we're electing a governor, and the Republican, Bruce Rauner, the incumbent, is being challenged by J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat, who wants to move toward legalizing marijuana. I see that legalizing marijuana, it looks like, is on the ballot in Michigan and in North Dakota, and stocks that involve marijuana are doing very well today. I would imagine that's a sector that's just going to continue to grow and grow, and they will have it. They will have an impact today on how the voting goes.
Yeah, those stocks will be and have been impacted. We had our friend, our mutual friend, yours and mine, Anthony Scaramucci. I was with him this morning.
Did you tell him? Did you tell him hello for me?
I did. Of course, I did. And he was saying that he's spoken to the president recently, and he says that the president said that after the midterms, he is going to support wider use of marijuana, whether that's recreational or whether it's just full support of medical. I don't know yet, but that's positive for the cannabis industry.
That would have been a great thing to throw into the mix. You've got the caravan, you've got the 10% tax cut, and I don't know how legalizing marijuana fits there. That probably wouldn't play with his base very well. I don't know.
For medical it might, though.
For medical,
and that's where
point.
Anthony was with it, so we'll have to see.
All right, what are you watching today?
We were watching the XLI. That's the spider that tracks the industrial stocks, the big industrial stocks, and it has been moving up, not substantially, but it's well off of its lows of 2018, and it's picking up momentum. And I do think that some sort of settlement or at least discussions of it, at the G20 later this month are going to be things that could drive our industrial side of our economy. So we were buying the XLI ETF today.
John Najarian from CNBC, great to talk to you today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. On a phone line now is John Copeland. He is the Vice President of Marketing and Consumer Insights at Adobe. John, welcome to the Biz Lunch. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thanks, Steve, for having me on. I'm really excited to be here as well.
I've been going over the numbers and your press release and things, and there's so many things here to talk about. So I'm going to just run through some statistics first. You are predicting, Adobe predicting, online sales this holiday season will increase 14.8%. Retail sales offline will go up only 2.7%. But here's the thing that jumps out at me. Online sales, so buying things online between 7 and 10 p.m., you chose specific time on Cyber Monday, those 3 hours will drive more revenue than an average full day in 2018. We are buying our things online these days and not at the store.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And a little bit of background on our predictions. They come from our Adobe Experience Cloud, which actually monitors over 55 million unique products. We get data from 80% of the top U.S. web retailers. We aggregate it. We anonymize it. We're monitoring over basically 7 million transactions a second. And you know, no human alone could kind of surface stuff like this. We use our Sensei artificial intelligence and machine learning platform to drive a lot of the insights that you saw in the press release. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Consumers are getting actually a lot more comfortable shopping online. The growth rate that you mentioned, that 14% or over 14% growth rate in online sales outpacing offline sales, suggests that online is feeling a bigger share. Customers are feeling a lot more comfortable shopping online. And we call those hours that you mentioned between 7 and 10 Pacific on Cyber Monday the golden hours of holiday retail.
But here's
those
the
are
thing.
Really the hours when the East Coast, that's basically 10 p.m. East Coast time until about 1 a.m., lines up with the after-work hours on the West Coast here. So it's really the opportunity when most of the continental United States is off of work now and has the opportunity to close all those transactions that they might have been browsing earlier through the day or earlier through the holiday season.
Okay, John, I've got a number of questions, so I'm going to fire through them pretty quickly here. But we're buying online, but here's the thing. We've talked on this show about, well, Warby Parker, an online eyeglass company, they're opening up physical stores. There are a number of online stores that are now creating a physical presence, and your data shows that that really pays off. Those online retailers do better online if they've got a physical option. Explain that for me.
Yeah, so what we see is that online retailers who have a physical presence generally have at least or on average a 28% higher online conversion rate than retailers who don't have a physical presence.
Is that just because people see it and know what they look like when they walk by this? Because a lot of them don't have that many stores either.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, I mean, you talked about Warby Parker. I mean, there are even traditional multi-category retailers like Nordstrom who are launching, you know, new concepts, right? Stores that don't have inventory. So you can go try the clothes on, see what they look like, find the best fit, find the style and the color that works for you, and then go online to purchase it later. And in fact, you know, what we see in our surveys is that roughly 47% of people want to see a product before they buy it.
Yeah.
But for millennials, it's actually 58% among millennials.
Well, that surprises me. I would have thought that the older you are, the more likely you needed to touch. I need to touch, especially clothes for the most part. Another thing, social media is waning when it comes to influence. I think that's fascinating. Explain that for me.
Yeah, so what we've seen over the past few years is that social media is clearly driving more traffic, like referral traffic. Over the past couple of years, it's gone up over 110%. But the dollar value of those visits is actually decreasing. So somebody, you know, hitting a social platform and then, you know, referring over to one of the many online retail sites, the dollars that referral traffic is driving is actually down 11% over the past few years. And there are probably a number of factors that are driving that, including, you know, things like a lot of the latest news around trust and identity theft and privacy and issues that concern consumers. So there are other digital channels outside of social that, in fact, are driving increased revenue per visit over that same time frame. So, for example, natural search. You go to, you know, one of the many search engines, you type in, you know, the term that you're looking for. That referral value, the dollar value of natural search, has actually gone up about 23%. Referring domains, so, you know, websites like RetailMeNot, for example, the value that they've been delivering over the past few years has actually gone up about 15%. But the best performer is actually the retailer's own website. Direct traffic, the dollar value from direct traffic has gone up about 36% in the past few years.
John Copeland is the Vice President of Marketing and Consumer Insights at Adobe. John, I'm so late. I'm going to give me a 15-second answer here. Cyber Monday is big for buying toys. Black Friday is big for buying computers. Thanksgiving sales have been going through the roof, growing so much in the past few years, and that's big for sporting goods. Why sporting goods on Thanksgiving?
You know, it's a great question. The retailers are actually figuring out when to stage their best deals and when customers are actually responding to them. And so it's the case that, you know, the sporting goods retailers have really found out that that's the best day to offer those deals. And, you know, they're less likely to be competing with some of those traditional traffic drivers, right, like the big electronics, like apparel, and like appliances, for example.
John Copeland, it's great to talk to you. Hope we can talk again.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. Have a great day.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. It is 12:39 here in Chicago. On the phone line now is Terry Brax, the co-founder of Women Tech Founders. Terry, welcome back to the Biz Lunch. I lost my notes right there as I was introducing you. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having us on.
It's the curse of being a little, well, I can't say I'm too organized, but I've got everything right in front of me somewhere. So, you know, Betsy Ziegler was here yesterday. We were talking about women in tech, obviously, in 1871. And here you are with the Women Tech Founders. And I know you've got your big dinner coming up next week. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I was talking to her about how we do in Chicago when it comes to women founders. And I don't know if I got the answer from her. It seems to me that we do better here than they do on average around the country. Am I correct or incorrect on that?
You are absolutely correct. I'm going to just throw out real quickly. It is this week that the Women Tech Awards are happening. So I just wanted to clarify that. It's actually on Thursday, and Betsy will be a part of that. And yes, we are so proud to talk about the progress that we've had in Chicago and the rise of women leaders overall. So when we started Women Tech Founders 3 years ago, less than 3% of all of the tech startups were led by women. And today, after a lot of excitement that has happened in the industry, we are now leading at 30% of all tech startups led by women. And our goal is to make that 50.
Why has that changed? What's led to that? I mean, I would imagine organizations such as yours has helped, but I don't know if that can fuel all of it.
Yeah, I think that it started it, you know, and everything starts with a spark. And we started 3 years ago with women leaders all over the city coming together to say, you know, we are here and we need to be represented as well. And we wanted to reach out and make sure the next generation understood what it is like to be a woman in tech from different perspectives, from different sides, and to see that they all belonged. And what we saw is the very next day, and at that event, women were connecting to each other, and they were starting their own organizations to support other organizations, and programs started up, and it kind of just opened the window to what is possible. And so many great organizations all over the city came to support what we did. That night, we had women leaders representing male-dominated industries all over that were there to make the difference as well.
So then before that, was it that women wanted to be founders, wanted to start businesses, and couldn't get the money or be recognized? Or is there now sort of an awareness being brought to women that, hey, this is something that you can do as well. I mean, do you understand my question?
Yeah, I think awareness was huge.
Yeah.
It just wasn't something that was on the average woman's mind that this is something that she could do because the stereotypes were so heavily white male skewed. And so when we were on that stage and we were women of every race and every age and coming from every different industry and talking about the work that we were doing that was ranging from helping kids with autism to, you know, biotech, it suddenly kind of opened the floodgates that these things are possible for you too.
Terry Brax is the co-founder of Women Tech Founders. I know that the event was November 9th, and for some reason I had in my head that that was next week. This is Election Day, November 6th. They should have known that. So tell me about the event coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, it's actually November 8th,
yeah.
And we, no worry, I'm going to just keep drumming it.
Just
November
8th.
We are super excited, and Betsy, as I mentioned, will be one of the great women who are going to be there. But we have women from all over the city, Dory McWhorter from YWCA, who's doing such great work with girls and introducing them into tech, to the incredible founders and female investors, which is so important. So that is something right now that is the next step that we're working on. We now have a rise in the number of women who see themselves as founders, as entrepreneurs, as those leaders in the businesses. And we also want to have them be investing in each other. And we've seen that grow as well. And so that's very, very exciting. We're going to be having 10 pitches on Thursday. And we're going to be having, I believe we have 6 female investors and 1 male investor.
Wow.
Who's going to be there.
Well,
as the judges. So there's a lot of excitement around that as well.
Terry, thank you for joining us today. Have a great event. I look forward to hearing about it.
Thank you so much.
You bet. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. The Chicago Board Options Exchange, aka CBOE, is in the spotlight today as clients of the exchange are claiming that the fees are too high and that they are, quote, greedy. But where's it all coming from? It's a service and you're paying for it. Well, the exchange bought out a competitor last year for $3.4 billion, and clients and investors are still waiting for the stock price to reap those benefits. It's at roughly the exact same spot now as it was during this time last year. As a big-time investor, or if you simply own one share of the stock, you expect that company to perform. We're all just waiting for our payout. And another big business in the spotlight today is the hardware chain Lowe's. They're closing 51 North American store locations. Ah, woof. Where am I going to get my workbench supplies? Calm down, Dad. There are only 2 Illinois area stores that are getting clipped. One in North Suburban Gurnee and Portage, Indiana. And the company said that they're focusing on the most profitable stores and trimming some extra fat. I think we could all trim a few LBs if you know what I mean. Ugh, I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. In the studio now, I should say, the show is sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Kelly Leonard is here. He's the host of the podcast Getting to Yes and a whole lot more. Kelly, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so your guest this week is Kim Christford.
Yeah, she's a consultant at Deloitte. The business consultancy, and she's got a new book called Business Chemistry.
And I like this because it talks about identifying how, you know, not just like, well, Kelly's good at this or Bennett's good at
right.
that, you know, Steve's good at origami. That's not quite what we're looking at. To identify the personality types and then kind of assign the tasks from there.
Right. So it's like, why don't we apply a bit of science to our business, which is why it's called business chemistry. So an example is you hear a lot of people talk about empathy as being
right.
an important thing in business. And some people sort of like scoff at that. But the reality is, if you want to motivate people to do their best work, you kind of got to understand what makes them tick. And everyone is different. So the same policy for everyone is not going to work.
You know, and when I hear empathy, I tend to think of an emotion.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
But I think, and you tell me, but from what I read about the book, which she, it's not so much an emotional connection with someone or, oh, I need to understand someone. It's like, oh, I need to understand someone.
Yeah, right. Right.
This is how they operate, yeah. And 1900s figured that out.
And then you can position them for success, and you can also figure out maybe what they're not interested in, and so you don't focus on that.
Right.
So one of the big things she talks about is we have this idea of introverts and extroverts that is very simple and wrong. You know, it's either the wallflower or, you know, Mike Ditka.
Right.
And that's not the case. Most people belong on the spectrum of introversion and extroversion. And so when we understand that a individual might need a little charge time after they've done a meeting, we give them that space. We know for another person, give them a crowd, that is their best thing. And everyone's a little bit different, so you need to modulate the way you motivate your people.
I would imagine if you're a good manager and you know your workers, you might recognize some of this already, but
right.
But maybe you haven't recognized the utility of it or the way to use it.
Exactly. So you think about it in a sports analogy, right? Your manager is going to know who should be leading off, is going to maybe take a chance. And Madden's great at this when he starts having Rizzo lead off,
right,
and he's
right.
changing the sort of psychology of the lineup. But generally speaking, people are playing the positions that they're best in. But in business, we're constantly taking our pitchers and thinking they can be catchers and third basemen.
She's got five different personalities. Mm-hmm. I think is there a
favorite?
Well, no. But is there a go-to to sort of figure out how to slot these people? I mean,
you know, these are various. This is the thing that I really loved about our conversation, because I heard someone once say that personality tests and personality concepts are the astrology for the business world.
Mm-hmm.
That so many of them don't really work. And in this case, it's more of like we've identified these different types of people, drivers and pioneers, but know that everyone has a little bit of each in them. And the best thing you can do is understand the types, so also you don't get caught in the bias, because someone looks like someone else, they must be the same.
Right, right. I've got in my notes here, creating psychological safety.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so there was a big study done a few years ago by Google. It's called Project Aristotle. And it identified scientifically what are the best qualities to get best team performance. What do you need? And the number one out of everything that they studied, and this is an intense study, was psychological safety. And what that means is individuals have to not be working into fear. And when they're not working out of fear, they're going to do their best work.
I thought that was it, but I was afraid to say it.
Yeah, it's simple.
Right.
But it is not the way most businesses run. Everyone's looking at their quarter. Am I going to make my numbers? I'm going to be fired. And guess what? You're getting less productivity.
So if they feel comfortable and they realize that they're going to be there for a while, or they're not under threat, they're right. going to perform better.
And it's not like you just leave it all to chance. You do other things like frequent check-ins. I mean, this is the thing. It's not about just giving everyone free rein.
The name of the podcast is Getting to Yes and WGNRadio.com. Where else do people find it?
At SecondCity.com.
Listen, good to see you.
Good to see you.